After an awkward rescue courtesy of the police, you hardly have time to process your encounter with Ivy. You would like a minute or two alone to reflect on your humiliation, but that will have to wait. You're running late for work. In your civilian life, you are the lead chemist at a local R&D facility. WayneTech has a branch in your city, and you quickly made your way up the ranks. If you get some time to yourself tonight, you should try to whip up some kind of countermeasure to Ivy's toxins. Either that, or herbicide. You are woefully underprepared to deal with her. That won't happen again. You arrive at your job and quickly change into your usual work attire, a lab coat and some PPE. On your way in, something catches your eye. A small garden outside the lab, mostly consisting of bushes adorned with flowers. They look so small and lonely. You should make sure the gardener is watering them properly. You head inside. You run into a few of your co-workers who engage you in polite conversation. You do your best to be attentive, but the truth is, you're having a lot of trouble focusing. You try not to let on, but it's no use. You can still hear the sound of gently rushing water and rustling leaves. You can still smell fresh flowers all around you and her perfume. And when you close your eyes, you can see her smiling jade lips and her entrancing green eyes. You excuse yourself from the conversation. You have to snap out of this, and fast. You can't afford to get distracted. You take your spot at your workstation. No one else is around. This is a rare opportunity. Now you can come up with something to help you against Ivy. But how can you stop a literal force of nature? For starters, you'll have to neutralize her pheromone dust to stand a chance. Yes, you have to stop the dust. The dust that smells like lavender and fills you with ecstasy after a single whiff. If she blows it in your face again, you don't know what you'll do. Well, for one, you'll get to feel amazing, better than anything you felt before. Yes, but that would be...
Excuse me?
You jolt upward in your seat. You look at the clock mounted on the wall. Oh God, how long are you zoning out? And you could have sworn you heard a woman's voice just now.
Hello?
Another jolt of surprise. You look straight ahead to see a woman you don't recognize. Her silky auburn hair is tied in a messy bun. A pair of thick-rimmed glasses rests on her freckled nose, and behind them you can see her bluish-green eyes regarding you expectantly. She's wearing a lab coat and PPE. Who is she? And how long has she been standing there? Almost as if she's reading your mind, she introduces herself.
I'm Dr. Isley, the new hire. I was told to report to you for orientation. Am I in the right place?
You are dumbfounded for a moment, but you manage to give her a weak nod. The new hire? That's odd. This is the first you're hearing about it. Then again, it's possible that it simply slipped your mind. You've got a lot going on right now. She gives you a meek smile and extends her arm for a handshake. You reach out and grasp her waiting hand. She has a surprisingly firm grip.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I guess we'll be working together, so I should tell you a bit about myself. I'm not primarily a chemist. I'm more of a botanist, really. I was hired based on my knowledge of plants, actually. Mr. Wayne has been a very vocal advocate of reforestation efforts. That's why I applied in the first place. I think I made a good impression during my interview. They must have figured someone with my skill set could be helpful, I suppose. I know not everyone here specializes in flora, but I hope we can all work together.
Oh, great. Just what you needed. As if you weren't thinking about plants enough already. Even so, you find her earnestness charming in a way. You can already see her genuine passion for her work shining through with every word she says. It's clear that she'll be a valuable asset to the team. Maybe, if you can bring it up without raising too much suspicion, you can even get her help with your Ivy problem. You tell her you're happy to have her on board, and you offer to show her around, which she eagerly accepts. You give her a tour of the facilities, focusing mostly on the stations that pertain to her work. Her enthusiasm is infectious. Her excitement for chemistry as well as her love of plants seem to practically radiate off of her. She's not just enthusiastic, she's also knowledgeable. She clearly has laboratory experience. You think that this will be a short orientation, which makes you a little disappointed. You're actually enjoying her company a lot. She's very easy to talk to. She's witty and quite funny when she wants to be. But she has an awkwardness about her that you find endearing. For the first time tonight, you are able to take your mind off of Ivy and let yourself relax for a bit. It also doesn't hurt that she's very attractive, albeit in a totally different way than Ivy. Ivy is a femme fatale through and through, with sensual energy permeating her every movement. Dr. Isley is more of an understated beauty, hidden behind an unkempt hairdo and an excitable personality. The kind of person that most people wouldn't give a second look. But if they did, they would be caught off guard by how stunning she is. It seems to come to her effortlessly. She has no need for makeup or extravagant outfits to bring out her best features. You're particularly fascinated by her eyes. They're a shade of green, much like Ivy's, and they are just as captivating. You wonder what she would look like without her glasses on. At last, you come to the end of the tour. Your orientee wears an expression of vague dissatisfaction. You ask her if she has any questions.
Well, there was one thing in particular I was hoping to see. Are you familiar with chlorogene?
You tell her you've heard the name before, but not the details. She nods her understanding and goes on.
It was a super fertilizer developed by Wayne Tech. It was supposedly strong enough to grow an entire field of crops in a matter of minutes. But there were complications during development. The formula was apparently unstable. It didn't just make plants grow wildly, it had other unintended effects. And as for what it did to humans who were exposed to it, well, the stories aren't pretty. The only thing anyone knows for sure is that Mr. Wayne shut the project down in the experimental stage. All of the unfinished chlorogene was locked away permanently. The truth is, I've always wanted a chance to study it myself. I heard a rumor that you have some of the last existing samples here. I'm aware it's highly confidential, but please let me take a look at them. I'm not asking for long, just an hour or two to see what I can come up with. I know I'm new here and I might be overstepping my boundaries, but I'm begging you. I want to make the world a better place, and I think with chlorogene, I could make a real difference. Please, let me have one shot.
You take a moment to contemplate in silence. By all measures, this isn't a good idea. You think you know where the chlorogene samples are kept on site, but those are strictly for authorized personnel only. You wouldn't only be risking her job by agreeing, but your own as well. Not to mention how dangerous this stuff is, especially with a villain like Ivy in town. all of your instincts as a scientist and as a superhero are telling you that letting her anywhere near Corrigine will likely end in disaster. You look up to announce your decision, but then your eyes meet hers. Those lovely sea green eyes that are so filled with hope and anticipation. You can see how badly she wants this. You can tell she's been dreaming of this day for a long time. She's quite comfortable in a laboratory setting. You've seen it yourself. You're certain that nothing catastrophic will happen under her watch. And you agree that a perfected Corrigine formula would do wonders for society at large. But more than that, there is something about her that makes you want to go against your instincts, to trust her in spite of yourself. You do trust her. You tell her it will only be this one time. She perks up immediately, her smile beaming like the sun.
Oh, thank you, thank you. You won't regret this, I promise. I only need an hour. No, 30 minutes will be enough. I can't thank you.
You cut her off and gesture for her to keep her voice down. In a sharp whisper, you explain how much you're risking by agreeing to help her. She gives you a serious look and nods her understanding. You peek around a corner for any potential witnesses. Once you see the coast is clear, you beckon for her to follow you. You move swiftly and stealthily, careful that no one realizes where you're headed. Eventually, the two of you make it to a far-off corner of the restricted section of the lab. Waiting for you there is a massive steel door, sealed tightly shut. In place of a door handle, there is a keypad, the only way to get in. You know the combination, but you hesitate for a moment. You grimace at the massive bright orange biohazard warning right in front of you. You turn your head to the woman beside you. She gives you a warm smile and nods her encouragement. You sigh and punch in the code. With a loud clank, the door unlocks and cracks open. The two of you make your way inside. The tiny room is lit only by a dim red light. 5 vials are mounted on a wall opposite the entrance. Corrigine. Dr. Isley steps forward. Her eyes are wide, her mouth hangs open slightly with elation. She looks like a kid in a candy store, but that isn't the only thing you see in her expression. You notice the faintest glint of something else in her eye. Something less than pure. Maybe you're imagining it. She turns her gaze to you and stares expectantly. You gently remove one of the vials from the wall. It's tiny, only around 3 inches tall, and it's labeled with a biohazard symbol. You observe it for a moment, pondering if you're doing the right thing. She holds out her hand. Finally, you acquiesce and place the vial in her waiting palm. You exit the room and seal the door behind you. Dr. Isley is fixated on the vial in her fingers. Her eyes are soft and watery with emotion. It's as if she's been reunited with a long-lost lover. You ask her to have the sample back to you as soon as possible, before anyone notices it's missing. She smiles and agrees, although you can't help but think that she's not really listening. Suddenly, she throws her arm around you and plants a kiss on your cheek. Her lips are soft and warm, and your skin tingles a bit when they make contact. Just as abruptly as she had kissed you, she pulls herself away and walks off in a hurry. She disappears from your sight before you can react. You are left stunned, totally dumbfounded and frozen to the ground. You have to admit, it feels good knowing you made her so happy. You press your fingers to the spot in your cheek that her lips touched. Even now, it's still tingling a little. That night, sleep finds you with relative ease. You have a lot on your mind, but between confronting Ivy and meeting Dr. Isley, you are beyond exhausted. You drift off almost as soon as your head hits the pillow. And as you sleep, you dream. In your dream, you see a woman, but not the one you were expecting. You aren't sure at first, but as her image becomes clearer, there can be no doubt. It's Dr. Isley. You're certain of it, yet you almost don't recognize her. Her hair is down, and it drops past her shoulders. In the odd light of the dreamscape, it looks different than it had in the lab, almost ginger in color. She's wearing her lab coat, but almost nothing else. It hangs open in the front, exposing her bare, freckled skin, leaving little to the imagination. Underneath it is a green lingerie set, the only thing covering her at all besides the loose-fitting coat. Her lips are curled into an amused smirk, not becoming of the mild-mannered woman you met earlier. Most striking of all are her eyes behind her glasses. They are a much brighter shade of green than they were earlier, and they glow in the dim light. You never imagined you'd see her like this. She exudes confidence. She knows how wildly gorgeous she is. She's aware that you can't take your eyes off of her. And she's right, she looks absolutely ravishing. You never thought any woman other than Ivy could stir these emotions in you, even in a dream. Yet there she stands, seducing you with nothing but a smile and a flip of her orange hair. She opens her mouth to say something, but you can't make out the words. Your brow furrows with confusion. You attempt to ask her to speak up, but no sound escapes your lips. Upon seeing this, she laughs. Not an awkward chuckle, but a cruel, mocking laugh at your expense. She clearly finds it hilarious that you don't understand what she's trying to tell you. Even as your face burns with embarrassment, you notice how lovely she looks when she laughs. Then, the world begins to spin around you. It seems you're being pulled back to the land of the waking. No, not yet. You want to know what she was saying to you. You want to stay with her a bit longer. Alas, your time here is up. She gives you a sly wink and a wave goodbye before disappearing into the blurry abyss. And as the world spins faster and faster, your feet leave the ground and you are gently carried back into consciousness. You wake up refreshed and ready for the morning. You faintly recall the dream you had, but the details are obscured. There was a woman there. A woman with orange hair clad in green. You figure it must have been Poison Ivy, but for some reason you aren't quite sure. One thing's for certain. It was a pleasant dream. You wouldn't mind having it again sometime. You spring out of bed and speed through your morning routine. You have a feeling it's going to be another busy